For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Vic Porcelli.
Come on, you're Italian. You understand.
Every day is a busy day all of a sudden.
You talking to me? You talking to me? Tough and smart. And I love Italian, so, you know, he's definitely Italian.
At least I have this show to come and talk about it and let some stuff up.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Vic Porcelli Show.
All right. Good morning, freedom lovers. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Vic Porcelli.
How you doing, you freedom-loving, crazy mother?
I'm doing awesome, and we've got a special surprise for you.
You do?
Yeah.
What?
It's Friday!
Oh, my God!
That is Speaker of the House, former Speaker of the House,
Tim Jones.
Tim Jones, who sounds like he's... And do it again. He sounds like he's in an arena.
It's Friday.
Oh my God!
Yeah. You didn't know he went to. Yeah, he went to the.
You went to Jeff City to do that for me.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Appreciate it. Thanks, Ken. That was great. Holy cow! All right. Coming up today for our Friday.
It's going to be played again today, I know.
Yeah, you bet. Director of Government Accountability at the Show Me Institute, Patrick Ismail, in just seconds. Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, who also we can talk to him about what Patrick Ismail is going to talk about, these bills that are going through the legislature in Jefferson City. Susie Moore, I asked Susie to read up on this Murdoch.
I think it's Murdoch.
I don't know.
It doesn't look like it. I know, but I think it's Murdoch.
If you didn't know, if you never heard anybody say anything, how would you say that name?
But
I'd say Murdoch.
Something like that. Yeah. But I was watching today, and of course we have to go by what they say.
Of course, it's the truth. Yeah. No, everybody's calling him Murdoch. I'll be honest with you, I haven't paid much attention to this trial, which is why I wanted Susie to come on and talk about it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy, and it's one of those things. There will be a movie about this, for sure. For sure, they'll make a movie.
Yeah, it's pretty evil.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
If it's, you know, what they say it is.
So, Susie Moore coming in at 10:05. Our great friend, Sir Paul Cook, at 10:25 in the Wheel of Audio Clips every Friday at 10:41. So, let's get rolling and let's say good morning to Patrick Ismail, Director of Government Accountability at the Show Me Institute. Patrick, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Vic?
Doing great, man. Thanks for being with us. Now, this education bill... why don't you explain it a little bit, and then we'll dig a little bit deeper into it and get into the weeds a little bit. But tell us on the surface what this bill is all about.
Yeah, so the one bill that I'm following most closely isn't a school choice bill. There are a few school choice bills out there that are making some progress. You're looking at inter-district choice, you're looking at ESAs. But the bill that I'm looking at deals almost entirely with transparency. And so we've talked about a Missouri Parents Bill of Rights for the last couple of years now. And the idea behind it is to make sure the parents are at the center of their kids' educational choices rather than the government being, you know, opaque or non-transparent about what's being taught to kids. And the reason that that's important is because you want to make sure the parents know what is being told to their kids in school. I think that when you have things like critical race theory floating around, when you have 1619 project out there, at a bare minimum, parents need to have the opportunity to know what is going to be in the kids' books and coming home. And so what these Parents' Bill of Rights bills would do is they would make sure that curriculum was posted online. It would make sure that spending is posted online so that everyone can see it at pretty much all times. It would make sure that performance data is put online. And I think once you have that, I think that especially when you get into a space where we have real school choice, you'll not only have school choice, but you'll have informed school choice. And I think that that's been a long time in coming. I mean, we've talked a lot about how the educational system in the state of Missouri has been underperforming for a long time. We used to be, for instance, in the top third of math performance in the country, and about 30 years on from that point, we're now in the bottom third. And so something's got to change. And I think in addition to that, not only do you want to make sure that people have choice for educational performance purposes, so if kids are doing better and being able to get a good job after school, but also you need to make sure that parents are able to trust their their schools and their districts. I think what you see in Columbia right now with kids going to a diversity event where there was a drag show or drag queens there, I think that one of the big problems that we see in education right now is a lack of trust between parents and districts and districts and parents. And so I think transparency gets us into a much better place so that people can trust one another and believe the representations and believe that their kid is actually getting a good education. And also, I think it'll help provide a good education, because rather than, you know, kind of focusing on CRT and all that kind of nonsense, I think that it will hopefully detour a lot of these districts and schools to actually focus on things that parents want them to teach kids, like reading, writing, arithmetic. But the legislation that we've been tracking passed out of committee in the Senate. It's on the Senate floor currently. It's up for debate. It hasn't been voted on yet, but hopefully it'll get a vote pretty soon.
Boy, this bill's got Nick Schroer all over it, doesn't it? Just sounds very Nick Schroer-ish, which is great. You know, one thing you said in there, Patrick, you know, the parents being told what's happening with their children. What's happening with this country where that's not the norm, where we're like the kooks because we say we want to know what's happening with our kids? When did we lose a grip on that?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And I think there, to a certain extent, I mean, we talk about the importance of local government and local control all the time. But I think, you know, folks, especially from the right, have oftentimes kind of thought that you know, you can trust local government much more than state government, for instance. And I don't know that that's always true. And I think that when you look at the last couple of years with coronavirus, some of the worst violations of rights were really kind of imposed by local government. And I think that once a lot of kids start coming home and they were, you know, getting educated virtually or online, and parents could see what was being taught, I think that was illuminating. And you combine all the factors of, you know, everyone's at home, and, you know, you see these cities or districts or local taxing districts imposing like their will on people in really awful kinds of ways. You know, when Walmart stays open but your small business has to shut down, I think people started reassessing what that relationship really was, whether they could trust local government in different kind of ways than state government. And at the end of the day, local government is just a managerial convenience of the state. It's an extension of the state. And so I think a lot of local government, and particularly districts, I think for a long time enjoyed a lot of deference because I think there was a lot of trust there. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, a lot of that trust has melted away. And with a lack of trust, there is a lot of, I think, verification that has to happen. You know, trust but verify, or don't trust but verify. And now we're in the verification phase of finding out what's being taught to kids. I mean, we sent over 6,000 Sunshine Law requests looking for curricula over the last couple of years. And there were a lot of districts that just didn't want to give it to us, or they would try to charge us tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars for those records. That is unacceptable. And all of these materials should be online, if for no other reason, to ensure to parents, to allow them to trust these districts who they're entrusting their kids to. And I think when this stuff goes online, it'll not only allow for parents to see what is being taught or how their kids are performing or what's going on, but it'll also hopefully head off maybe future bad behavior or questionable behavior, because schools and districts will know that whatever they're doing is going to get found out, and a decision that they might have made in private or secret wouldn't be made if it's going to be made public.
One of our favorite of your colleagues, Dr. Pendergrass, was on with us a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about that most school rankings part of the Show Me site, and I think that is an enormous step towards transparency. To, you know, it was always, how's your school district doing with grades, right? Now it's, what kind of money is being spent in your school district? And, you know, the Sunshine Laws came up in our conversation because I think people need to know which school districts charged $100,000 or more for information that used to be free when I went to school.
Well, yeah, and again, mostschoolrankings.org is an excellent resource. It really is kind of the ideal kind of site that you would have the state producing automatically just every year, and not having to have an outside group like ours kind of do the work that the state should have been doing
all
along.
That's right.
So, but mostschoolrankings.org, excellent excellent website. Everyone should go see it.
And it's so easy to navigate. It looks a little daunting when you get on it, but then when you realize what you have to click to, how you sort by this or sort by that, you really can get a full look at what's happening in your kid's school district, you know? And you know what? Ever since, and this is a crazy thing, I don't, you know me, I'm crazy, but when the people who won World War II started to die and fade away, that's when this country started to crumble, you know, because that thinking. And I'm not just talking about the soldiers who went out and did it. The people back home, the Rosie the Riveters, the people who, you know, went to the movies and watched the newsreels and cheered for our boys in Europe and in Japan. You know, I mean, that kind of whole attitude just kind of left.
Yeah, I think that one thing that needs to come back to the country is a very clear understanding of who's the boss of who. And it's the taxpayer that's the boss of government.
That's right.
Every bureaucrat and every politician, they're your employee. They are not kings. They are not feudal lords. They are not queens. They are your employee. And I think that the transparency side of it is a huge element to making sure that those excesses that I think we've seen, especially in recent years, are reined in. And not just excesses in education. I think that you need to have similar sites like mostschoolrankings.org run by the state. And the state does have one called the Show Me Checkbook that looks at counties. But you have to have mandatory reporting for cities and counties and other local taxing districts in the same kind of manner that we're also advocating for schools, because if you are paying tax dollars, that means that's money that's being taken from you, and there's a higher expectation on that money because it can be taken from you. I think that transparency is a huge opportunity to rein in the excesses of government, and especially in the school space and the district space, the more transparency that you have, I think the better schooling you're ultimately going to end up getting, because there's going to be accountability there.
Now, that Show Me Checkbook, that's a new one on me. Is that on the Show Me Institute site too?
Yeah, well, we actually had a Show Me Checkbook project that we did started in 2018, and the Treasurer's Office started their own Show Me Checkbook, actually called it the same name. The Office of Administration is starting a similar kind of project, I believe, starting this year. And so there are optional, like non-mandatory state versions of the Show Me Checkbook or Show Me Checkbook project that we did a few years ago. But the real key here, and it goes for schools and districts as well, is that you have to have mandatory reporting. And I think once you have that, you know, allowing for taxpayers to kind of search through spending records of your city or county, whether it's a small town or a big city or a middle-sized county, is enormously important. And I think that the sort of transparency measures that would work well with schools and districts would work excellently for cities and counties, and we pushed for that for a little while. We put a lot of those records online. If you search through our website, you'll be able to find CBAs, for instance, collective bargaining agreements from across the state that haven't been collected anywhere else, spending records that haven't been collected anywhere else. Go to showmeinstitute.org, you can find those records, as well as links to our educational projects as well.
Another thing that Dr. Pendergrass and I talked about was this notion of micro schools, right? And when I heard how this works, if I have it right, it's one of the most brilliant things I've ever heard. You know, you got somebody that lives on your street and they're really smart, send all the kids to that lady's house and she teaches the kids. What's the difference in accreditation from that and homeschooling? Probably nothing, right?
Yeah, they're very similar. I mean, it's really a matter of degree. And I know that, you know, in my brother's case, he has three kids, two of which are in school now. And they homeschool their kids, and they'll get together maybe weekly in a larger group where one of the parents is an expert in being able to teach mathematics. And so I think it's a familiar idea, certainly, to homeschooling. But I think that, you know, with the coronavirus pandemic and the push toward having maybe smaller classes and that sort of thing, this idea of micro schooling has really blossomed. And I think that it's really interesting, especially when you start getting into a space where you have more school choice. You know, the state started a program called the Most Scholars Program, and basically what it would allow you to do is to take the money that the state would otherwise be providing you for your kid to be educated through a tax credit program. It's a little bit complicated, but not that complicated. But the point is that you're able to take that money and apply it toward a public school, a private school, a home school. Yeah. And that is enormously important, and it also provides competition for a lot of these different educational institutions.
Right.
to actually deliver on the promises of an education that the state has committed to.
Yep.
And so micro schools, I think, are a great opportunity. I think there are a lot of options out there. But, you know, the next few years are going to be very exciting when it comes to school choice in Missouri.
And watch these school districts and these school systems, when they start losing all this money, watch them change their tune, right, and have less CRT and less 1619 crap because, we're losing money doing it the wrong way. Wow, what a miracle. All right, Patrick Ishmael, Director of Government Accountability at the Show Me Institute. Thank you so much, man. It's great to talk to you again.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Vic.
ShowMeInstitute.org is how you find it. Go to the Mo School Rankings. Unbelievable resource. I don't know if other states have this stuff, Ken. This Mo School Rankings, you know, to find out exactly where all your money goes, all your tax money goes.
I'm so glad they took the time with it because, I mean, I've even looked up our school app and even with the girls out of there just to check up on it. And, you know, they need some work.
Yeah, you're a better man than I. I don't look back. I'm not going that way. All right. Coming up at 10:41 today, the Wheel of Audio Clips. That's how we always wrap up our working week. Paul Cook, the great one, at 10:25. Susie Moore. We'll see if I can wrestle my show back from her. Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft at 9:41. And coming up next, don't look now, but there's a Chinese spy balloon flying over Montana. Are you kidding me? That's next on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home!
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. On News Talk STL.
As part of our new credentialing body for teachers, we will promote positive education about the nuclear family, the roles of mothers and fathers, and celebrating rather than erasing the things that make men and women different and unique. I will ask Congress to pass a bill establishing that the only genders recognized by the United States government are male and female,
wow,
and they are assigned at birth.
What a firestorm if he gets back into the White House.
We have to be talking like this, though.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, obviously we're on his side. Nobody's got the guts like Donald Trump to say something like that.
No.
You know, and you know what? He's always got supporters in Ken and me. So, you know. All right, I was going to wait, Ken.
Yeah.
But can we do 10? Because I want to do something after you play it. This is Representative Matt Gaetz talking about doing the Pledge of Allegiance before committee meetings.
And our Pledge of Allegiance is a national symbol of pride and unity. And it was a great honor to be able to invite one of my constituents this morning to offer the Pledge of Allegiance. And so my amendment gives the committee the opportunity to begin each of its meetings with the Pledge of Allegiance. It gives our members the ability to invite inspirational constituents to be able to share and lead in the Pledge of Allegiance. I offered this amendment to the Judiciary Rules 2 years ago, and it was defeated, and I'm very optimistic that we'll have a different outcome today. That's the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Fantastic.
I thank the gentleman for his amendment. Support the amendment. Is anyone seek recognition?
Jerry Ness.
Gentleman from New York, ranking member now.
I would oppose it simply on the grounds that as members know, we pledge allegiance every day on the floor.
Nope.
And
I don't know
why we should pledge allegiance twice in the same day to show how patriotic we are.
Yeah, exactly right. To show how patriotic you are. What's wrong with that?
There's the Democrats, they're overshooting this. I'm telling you, it's going to burn them. Every single time you talk about a Democrat, they are so unpatriotic.
All right, listen, if you're working right now, you know, if you're watching the stream or if you're just listening, obviously in your car, you're not going to be able to do this. But if you're home or at work, I'd like you to stand up, take a quick break, quick coffee break, stand up, and let's recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's do
Are
it.
You good with that?
Yeah, I'm
here
good
go.
With it. Here
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with
liberty,
justice,
and justice,
liberty
for all.
And justice for all. There you go. What was so hard about that?
Why does Jerry Nadler have
such a problem with, well, not just Jerry Nadler, what do Democrats have a problem with patriotism?
What does a vampire have a problem with walking into a church?
Wow.
I'm serious.
I got you, baby.
They look at an American flag. No, they look at an American flag today, and to them that's white supremacy.
That's right, you're right. And
we've got to stop this.
I was thinking the other day about MAGA, right? And I've heard people say, well, you know, a MAGA hat, that just represents racism to people. And I'm like, how?
To them, it does, not to us.
Why to them? I don't even, as stupid as they are, make America great again. I will never understand it.
Because the media drove this narrative, Vic. I mean, if the media, I'm telling you, the corporate legacy media is what I'm talking about. Had they not been available for this, the narrative would not have caught fire as it did on the left side with the racism aspect of a MAGA hat. I don't get it either, but that's what they decided it was.
Well, they're all stupid.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I would like to take a moment to talk about this Chinese spy balloon. And by the way, next break, can you fix this microphone?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I hate it when it's like this.
Okay.
I like it. You know how I like it.
Yeah.
This one. There's a Chinese spy balloon flying over Montana. First of all, I have so many questions, Ken. How did it get into our airspace to begin with?
Yeah.
Then, got to give old Joe credit. Joe says, shoot it down. The Pentagon said no.
Why?
Well, let's think about that, Ken. Who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs? General Mark Milley.
Hmm.
Who's the guy?
He's the one who was in contact. Okay.
Go ahead, play it.
No.
Go ahead. You're halfway there. You might as well do it.
Ken Thundersteeler.
I don't know why I show up.
I don't either.
He was the one who was going to call his Chinese counterpart because he thought Donald Trump was going to attack China.
Yeah.
A, ridiculous notion that Trump would do that. B, to me, that's treasonous.
It is.
Right? So, Ken, I know that you are a lover of a certain movie that I love as well, because I think General Milley is a Chinese operative.
Oh, No Way Out.
No Way Out. Exactly, Ken.
Absolutely.
The ending of that movie will blow you away. If you have never seen the movie, Kevin Costner, Sean Young is the woman. I think the guy who was the mean guy at the radio station at Good Morning Vietnam is in it. I don't know his name. But what a great ending to that movie. And that's playing out right now, just with a different country.
It is amazing. And here's my thought. And when I first heard about this story and I'm reading, I'm like, wait a minute. 20 years ago, the Pentagon would have announced, we shot down, yeah, we located, we found this, yeah, Chinese spy balloon. We shot it down. We're identifying it. We've identified it. And here you go. We took care of it. Today, they write a story about a Chinese balloon that's flying over our sovereign airspace.
And it's just okay.
And it's okay.
It's just okay. So what Ken's talking about, 20 years ago, we would have heard that it got shot down, but before it got into our airspace. Before,
right.
Before it was directly over United States.
Montana.
Right? And General, see, they, in my head, Milley and the Pentagon lose in this, and I can't believe I'm giving the W to Biden, but I will do it. Okay?
Okay. I'll give him,
he said, shoot it down.
Right.
And Mark Milley says, no. I'm saying Mark Milley because he represents the entire Joint Chiefs, right? He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So he's the one who makes the final decisions.
But don't they take the orders from the president?
Of course they do. Of course they do.
Unless, of course, the another president's problem. Not the...
That's a whole nother problem, okay? But here's the problem. No. Why? Because we don't want any civilian casualties if we shoot it down. That's what they said. So Ken's plan is shoot the thing down before it gets into our airspace so we don't have to worry about any civilian casualties.
Well, yeah.
It had to cross water to get here. It
had to. Don't we monitor that?
And by the way, the press who think they're so sharp and so onto everything, they didn't see this thing coming over from China? It's not like it came from, you know, East St. Louis. It came from China.
Right.
Nobody saw it. Nobody saw it.
And it had to pass over. Well, if you're going by the airstream, the upper airstream, it should have come from the west. Oh, from the over the ocean,
yep.
And by the time it got within 150 miles of our border on the West Coast,
yep,
I'm sure, yep, our country should have been able to monitor it
at the very least, and shoot it down at the very best before it got into our airspace. And I truly have my doubts now, more doubts than when I did when General Milley was going to contact China and say, "Hey, Donald Trump's going to attack you." I have more doubts now, and I think he is a Chinese spy.
Yeah, I'll go along with that.
You know, I was going to say operative. He's a Chinese spy. Why? So this thing's still up there, by the way.
Yeah.
This balloon is still hanging over Montana, gathering information on us.
And guess where? When it flew over the West Coast, guess what's up there? Guess what's up in that area? Boeing. A lot of the aerospace activity that goes on over there. And you got NORAD up that way.
Brilliant.
I mean, it's all there, you know.
And General Milley doesn't want to shoot it down. I'm astonished at what this guy's getting away with. And years from now, when I'm dead, and we look back and we find out General Milley was a spy, you can say Vic was right.
That's right.
Because he's a spy. And he's a piece of stuff. Okay, can we...
Don't you cuss on this here radio.
Bandit, I apologize. I just, when you're talking about Mark Milley, that's his middle name. Is, you know,
Well, you stuff, but right. you triggered him.
Triggered the bandit?
The bandit, yeah.
Oh, my. Ken, you got to fix this.
I will.
Before we go back. All right, can we say hi to everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get into the chat box. Sean's on the phone. We'll talk to him in just a second. Good morning. Good Friday morning, Vic, Ken, and everyone. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Thank you, Linda, back at you. Susie Moore, good morning, Vic heads and schmoozy heads. She got her own thing now, like schmoozy head. Like schmoozy heads. Gene says, good morning, Vic heads. Happy Friday. Got good news. Oh, I got good news. I got a tro from the communist rules in Illinois. Gene, I'm sorry. I'm a little stupid. You're going to have to explain that to me a little better. Joy. Happy Friday. And guess whose birthday it is? I have no idea.
It's Friday.
Kim says, good morning, Vic, Ken, and everyone. Good morning, Kim. Yeah. Wish my All-American Ultra Mega Vic head family. Today's Friday, February 3rd. There are 717 days until the end of the error. God, do I love that so much. The end of the error instead of the end of the era. Amy, good morning. No can do, Ken. What's going on with you and Susie? Why don't you just go get a room? Is that what you're talking about, getting a room?
No, it's... I wanted to see if she would come in today.
Stan, thanks for always being with us. Stan, my man Stan, he is... Scotty Downey's talking about patriots and people that are loyal. But Stan, thank you very much. We always appreciate you. Here's a new name, Susan. All the way with Trump. You know it.
How you doing?
How you doing? Boy, I went back and listened to our conversation with Donna Jackson. She could not stop laughing when we said, "How you doing?"
I couldn't stop laughing. I fed off of her laughter, so I couldn't stop laughing either. She was great.
She's got one of those infectious laughs that when you're with her and you're talking to her and she starts laughing, you just can't help but start laughing. Good morning, Goat Lady Kibbs. Yep, you bet. That's toy. Wait, what? What? Ken, somebody's name on Rumble is Etztoit.
I know.
How great is that? Blinker Blinken.
Anything they say, I know, is complete opposite.
Etztoit says Blinker Blinken now just postponed his trip to China. Are we just afraid of them? Is that what it is?
I don't know. That's weird.
We look like jackasses, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Always time for our buddy Sean, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Sean. How you doing, baby?
Good morning, guys. Like, this whole Chinese spy balloon boggles my mind
me
right
too.
Now.
Me too.
Okay, I know we have radar, correct?
Oh,
we have radar all over our country.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just really weird that it happens a couple weeks after the whole air traffic control system went down without a hack or anything, and now we have a Chinese spy balloon just popped up over American airspace. Nobody knows where the hell it came from, what it's doing up there.
Ken,
it's weird.
He brings up, remember when there was no planes in the sky for the first time since 9/11? When was that, Sean? About 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe less?
Yeah, about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Something happened with the air traffic control system.
Yeah.
And every single plane was grounded. You looked up and it was like 9/11, not one plane in the sky for a while.
Yeah.
And now this Chinese balloon enters our airspace.
And not only that, but I think our to international airspace, to our space, I think it's 150 miles to our coastline. So, you know, Sean, I mean, we had 150 miles to check this thing out.
Right. There's no way.
Where did it come from?
Right, of course. Yeah. Came from China.
Yeah.
And Mark Milley doesn't want to shoot it down because he didn't want civilian casualties. Well, if he shot it down over the ocean, there wouldn't have been any. I think he's a Chinese spy, Sean. I really do.
I think a lot of them are Chinese spies, Vic. Biden, Rice, all of them.
It's crazy. All right, my man, you have a great weekend. Thank you for serving.
Always. Thank you, guys. Baby.
Thanks.
Bye.
That's Sean. He's great. All right, coming up the rest of the way today, Wheel of Audio Clips at 10:40. I still can't get over it. It's no way out. It's no way out.
Totally.
In real life.
Oh, yeah.
Here's your assignment.
Okay? I feel weird that there's a big thing up there looking down on us from another country.
Right. We should all sit down there and
give it the finger.
Right. Your homework assignment, your Vic Head homework assignment this weekend is rent or watch No Way Out with Kevin Costner. We can't say anything about it.
I want to.
Because it's spoilers. And then Monday, we may have to have a spoiler alert show about that. All right. Wheel of Audio Clips, 10:41. Sir Paul Cook, 10:25. Susie Moore at 10:05. And coming up next, Missouri Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft on 101.9 and 94.1 Newstalk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
It's Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft. You're listening to the Vic Porcello Show on Newstalk STL.
Man, what a pro. What a pro. Coming up the rest of the way today, Wheel of Audio Clips at 10:41, Paul Cook at 10:25, our great friend Smoozy Q at 10:05. And by the way, the Porcelli Weekend Show, let's talk about that for just a quick second before we get the secretary on. Every Saturday at 3 o'clock, Ken finds the three best things he thinks that happened this week, puts them together in an hour,
right?
And then it's at 3 o'clock on Saturday. And now I've been told they're going to also replay it at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
That's fun.
On your way home from church, you can go get all religious and clean, and then we'll dirty you up on the way home from church. And it's all brought to you by Steps Pizza. You can get a large pizza for the price of a small pizza every Monday at Steph's Pizza. Okay, let's get to business here. Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. Love the weather. Getting a little bit warmer.
It is. Where?
Oh, come on. It's sunny, and we're supposed to get up into the mid-50s.
Not today.
That's a great change. Not today, but it's coming.
You got to be positive.
Man. I'm freezing today.
Well, I mean, luckily you still, I think, have the right to use a gas-powered appliances if you need heat.
You bet. All right. I want to kind of continue what we were talking about there before the break for just a quick second. We spent the whole break on it. But this balloon, this spy balloon over Montana, I mean, I have so many questions. A, how did it get in our airspace? B, why is Milley such a weenie and won't shoot it down? I mean, this is the guy who was going to tell China that Donald Trump was going to attack him, which wasn't going to happen, by the way. But if it did, he was ready to rat out Trump to China, and now he won't shoot down the Chinese weather. I'm starting to question this guy's patriotism.
You know, it's feckless. This is why our allies are, you know, concerned. They don't like it when America is strong because it makes them look bad, but it helps to keep world peace. It helps to keep the economy going. It helps to protect lives across the globe. And we have a weak president who owes China. I mean, when we eventually see the monetary flows that at least went to his son, and we all know the big guy was supposed to get his percentage, maybe we'll understand why.
Yep, exactly right. Just making me crazy. Ken and I were talking. Have you ever seen the movie No Way Out with Kevin Costner? If you have, no spoilers.
I have not.
Watch it. Okay, because that's what's happening right now with General Milley. Okay, onward we go. Mark Houck found not guilty after he was arrested at gunpoint and, you know, early in the morning in front of his kids, and he never should have been arrested to begin with.
Did you see the video? The video showed that he's all the way down the block away from the clinic. He's on the corner. He's not doing anything wrong. This individual that accused him of accosting him actually went down to meet him at the far end of the block, was not accompanying anyone. This was a setup. This was fraudulent. This was persecution. Yeah. This was going after someone with the force of the Justice Department because you didn't like him, even though he was the victim, not the aggressor.
Now, let's just compare that to what's going to happen with red flag laws, right? You don't like your neighbor, his dog pooped in your yard, you can call the FBI and say he's got guns, and they'll come arrest him. Same thing.
It is all about government control. And, you know, the Democrats like to say that the Republicans want to tell you how to live your lives. No, the Republicans just want to say, don't mandate how I live my life. It's the Democrats that are being authoritarian, that are trying to mandate every aspect of your life. And we have got to stand up to that. It is scary.
Yeah, I'm sick of it. I really am. All right, let's move on. I don't know how to say his last name. Chuck Bassey, allowed to run for Columbia School Board after a court challenge, but at least he can run now.
Yeah, he met all the legal requirements. He went to file, and the school board said, no, we're closed. And he said, well, statute says that I can file for this period of time. This is the last day.
Say it right.
And they just said, no, we're not going to let you file. It is a terrible thing that we would have a political subdivision that would try to decide who's allowed to file and who isn't. I was happy to help with that, and the judge made the right decision.
Great. Thank you for helping him on that. So you have testified before several committees on important legislation. Tell us a little bit about that and new leadership and stuff.
Well, trying to get a handle on foreign ownership of Missouri land. I mean, it's not just surveillance balloons that are flying over. There's a case out in South Dakota where a Chinese company is seen as a threat by trying to buy property right next to a drone base. We need to make sure that we're protecting our food supply here in Missouri. Food security is national security. We need to make sure that people like China, Russia, they're not coming in and buying land and using it against us. I've been testifying in favor of changes for the rule of law, special prosecutors, way to get special prosecutors to make sure that criminals are prosecuted instead of law-abiding citizens like we see at the federal level, to make sure that when a judge pronounces a sentence on a hardened criminal, they actually have to do the time instead of just giving a big number and letting him out the back door to terrorize the people again. And of course, as we talked about it before, I stood up because I want to make sure that girls have the right to participate in sports just like everyone else.
You know, I made a comment earlier, Mr. Secretary. I'd like to get your comments on my comment that once the guys who won World War II, you know, that greatest generation, once they started to fade away, that's when I think this country started to crumble.
You know, there's a lot to be said for adversity, showing who you are. And the best or the worst comes out in adversity. And unfortunately, I hate to say this, I think in some respects life has gotten too easy, and we've softened and we've lost our moral compass.
I agree with that.
And we need more people that are willing to stand up regardless of what other people will say and say, no, that's wrong.
Yep. All right, so Nebraska Senator Megan Hunt has a bill to ban kids from church youth groups and vacation Bible school?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the reporter to ask her exactly what is she concerned with. Does she not like the prohibition against murder? Does she not like the prohibition against stealing? Does she not like the prohibition against lying? Well, she's a politician. She probably doesn't like that one. Does she not like the prohibition about adultery? I mean, what is she? Is she just telling the truth that her party doesn't like moral values that actually made this country what it is and allow us to live in the greatest society on the face of the earth? This is ridiculous.
So back in December, every year we say it, right, on our side, that there's an attack on Christmas, right? And it's more of just an attack on Christ, isn't it? And
yes.
These kids who were wearing hats that said pro-life at the Smithsonian were asked to leave. At the Smithsonian were asked to leave because their hats said pro-life. What in the hell is going on?
It's wrong. It's clearly unconstitutional, but it's an attack on values and right and wrong. I mean, we live in a country where men think women are men and men are women. We think that children should be able to decide whether what gender they are or whether they're a horse or a cat. This is the world turned upside down. And the fact that some people can't understand that you cannot change physical laws just because you don't like them, I can't understand it. We need more mental health services.
Do you think one day the left will actually bring a vote to the floor to change our government to a socialist government?
They're doing it little by little.
That's
every
what I'm
year.
Saying. I mean, one day we're going to see, oh, guess what? We're not a capitalist country. We're socialist. And then what? Then what do we do? Then that's when civil war happens.
Our founders would be aghast. Yep. This reminds me of the old story about the frog in the pot of water. If you throw them into the boiling water, they jump out. But if you just heat it up slowly, and frankly, it's not being done that slowly, they never notice. That's where we are.
Unbelievable analogy and metaphor. Right now, collectively, we are in the pot of water that's cool, and it's slowly turning up, and we're all going to boil and fry like the frog. All right, so there's a little football game coming up in a couple of weeks. What do you think about that?
It's not a little football game. It's a great football game, and Mahoney, we're going to kick the Eagles' tail.
Hey, listen, a couple of things about the Super Bowl. First of all, for the first time, two brothers playing against each other.
Yeah, Kelsey.
One on the Eagles and one on the Chiefs. And I saw this thing, and I'm not going to get the second number right, but both teams were 16-3, and both teams scored the exact same amount of points this year.
Wow.
You know, what I heard is you're not supposed to say it, but Kelsey's mom is really a Chiefs fan. She just can't say that. That's what I heard.
I think she did say that. I think she did say she's rooting for the Chiefs, but I like you anyway, other son. Oh, mom always liked you best, like the Smothers Brothers. All right, Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, did we miss anything? Anything else you want to talk about?
No, that's awesome. Just encourage the people to listen and get involved. The legislature's in session. Your wallet is not safe.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll talk next week.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Love when the Secretary of State gets all revved up.
I know.
You,
I love it.
God, he's great.
Yeah, I had to mark down a couple spots for him. I think we might have to do a little promo action on a couple things.
Yeah. And I think I did read that Kelsey's mom wants the Chiefs to win.
I love her jersey. Did you see it?
No.
It's half and half.
Is it?
It's really cool looking.
So what do you do when you have two kids that are playing the Super Bowl against you?
It's not. I never had that problem, Vic.
Well, right. But even if it were, you know, two high schools or whatever, two right. anything playing yeah. against each other, you know, it's hard to do that. I went to school with three kids named Wells. Jack Wells, who was my age, and then it was his two twin brothers, Ricky and David. And Ricky and David were never on the same team, like in the Babe Ruth League or Little League or yeah. anything like that. And Mr. and Mrs. Wells had a oh, I don't care who wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah. Back in, I guess I was probably 15, we were running for some tournament or something like that in baseball. Down at Heine Miney Field in South County.
What field?
Heine Miney.
Heine Miney?
Heine Miney was actually, you have to look him up. He was okay. a ball player in St. Louis.
Okay.
But anyway, Joe, my cousin Joe McGurk, he was catcher and I was pitcher.
These names are cracking me up.
And we were on the different teams at
yeah.
one point.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, our relatives all came out to this final game yeah. and we all had to vote. They all had to root for certain,
so
either
funny.
Him or I. So that was close. That's not the same thing, but it's kind of close.
All right. We have a few minutes, right? Let's talk about the Hunter laptop for just a second.
What laptop?
Oh, that's right. So where do we go from here, Ken? Because Hunter says, yeah, that's my laptop, yeah. Well, hold on. I thought it was Russian disinformation a couple of years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So now they've gotten to a point where they're admitting there was a laptop. So then what do the 51 intelligence officials get fired?
Or no, are they just off the hook?
Right. Or are they just off the hook?
Oh, no. Oh, what they said? Oh, well, you know, that was just then. This is now, Vic.
This is the hypocrisy of the left. So that's yeah. one thing, right? All of a sudden, Hunter's laptop is really, truly a laptop. Now, did you hear Biden yesterday say all of the women in my administration are women?
No, I didn't hear. I have to grab that.
He said all of the women in my administration are women. So let's take a look at that just for a sec. You're saying that a woman is a thing now?
Yeah.
Like, they use the word woman when they want to.
Right.
But then you can't say woman. You got to say whatever the big trans way to say woman is.
Right.
You know? So, yeah, he said half, all the women in his administration are women.
Is he saying that all the women in his administration are biologic women?
How else can we take that?
That's the only way I could take it.
That's, I don't think he meant to, but he, oops.
Oh, yep. Joe's going to get canceled.
Yep. Right. And then this whole Ilhan Omar situation where she was thrown off of a committee, and boy, the squad went crazy yesterday. AOC did her little thing. Did you ever see AOC speak on the floor? She looks like she's conducting a symphony orchestra. I think this is just an attack on women of color. And her arms are flailing all over the place like an idiot.
Standing up doing it.
But she's saying women. Women of color.
Yeah.
Why do you get to say it when you want to say it, but when I say it, I'm a transphobe or whatever it's called.
See, just check out where the Democrats come from. It's all about feels, Vic. It's all about feelings. And they were raised with getting what they wanted. Okay, and this is the way they do it. What did they do in A Summer of Love when they didn't get their way?
They burned cities to the ground.
Okay, so they said to her, look, you're not going to be on the committee. Well, no, I have to be on the committee. I'm going to be on the committee. In fact, I'm going to cry right now.
Right.
I'm crying. My friends are crying. Everybody's telling you, you have to put her back on the committee because I'm crying.
But don't they all realize, like, Rashida Tlaib, whatever her name is, she was, like, literally crying about this, you know? But nobody cried for Jim Jordan and Jim Banks when they got kicked off the J6 committee, right?
Nope.
So my question is, they're crying and moaning about Ilhan Omar saying it's discrimination about women of color, right? What about the other women of color that were thrown off their committees? You know, Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff.
Yeah.
They're women of color, aren't they?
I think so.
Adam Schiff.
Oh, definitely. Definitely Kinzinger.
All right. My last problem is, I brought a Hostess fruit pie into work today.
I've been hearing that the whole day.
And I didn't want to eat it. For some reason, I just didn't want it. When I woke up, I wanted to wait till I got here. So I put it in my pocket. And now it's like a Hostess fruit smush. And I'm afraid to open it.
It looks flat as a... It looks like a Hostess fruit snack.
It's a Hostess fruit smush. And first of all, I bought them. I didn't think they were going to be like that small. They're like bite-sized, for God's sakes. But I love the Hostess fruit pies.
I'll bet you'll love that fruit snack.
I'm just afraid to open it. All right. We're going to take some time out for news, and then we're back with Susie Moore and Paul Cook and the Wheel of Audio Clips. You know why? It's Friday!
It's Friday!
That is the best thing I have heard in weeks. We're back in 5 on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
Whoosh.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.